We have issued guidelines to try to help businesses and individuals that are involved in activity that could be subject to the FTC Act how to comply with the requirements of the Act. They're not trade regulation rules. They are simply guidelines.
And the guidelines, are they enforceable, or are they basically do this or you get a fine?
No, they're not do this or you get a fine. They are they are intended to interpret the interpretations of the FTC Act. So, there is there's a basis for the guidelines. But as I said, the purpose here is to provide guidance so that businesses can voluntarily comply with what's required under the FTC Act.
So businesses would also include someone that has a blog about some, I don't know, whatever the product might be, stereos or television sets or cameras.
Or cars.
Well, if you're blogging for money, getting paid to do it, if you're, as you said, receiving free product in exchange for writing the blog, that's a business. That's a commercial activity.
And so what do the guidelines precisely ask bloggers to do?
Well, the primary issue, I think, that in terms of the bloggers and others in the social media, it's not limited to just bloggers, but the issue here, the primary issue is the disclosure issue of simply making a disclosure that it's a paid post or
It's an advertisement, more or less?
That it's an advertisement, or that product has been provided by the manufacturer. Or something to that effect. We've not mandated how the disclosure needs to be made. I think each situation might be a little bit different, and something that might work in one media might not work in another media. But we are planning on putting out some additional FAQs and business education to sort of give some guidance on some general principles that bloggers can use to comply with the FTC Act.
Mr. Cleland, was there concern that people were writing influential columns and people weren't informed, or the readers weren't informed that they were receiving product, and so there may be some quid pro quo or pay to write or pay to play or whatever you want to say? I mean, we have similar things in the broadcast industry. We need to sign disclosure forms if we've had any kind of association with an outside group or industry, and we're not allowed to promote it on the air. So is that more or less what this is aimed at?
I think that the general principles underneath that are the same. That that consumers have a right to know, when the readers have a right to know, when they're being pitched a product, or when the speaker has some bias that the reader or the consumer might not expect in that situation, and that's really, that principle applies to fake ads in publications or on television. If an infomercial, rather than looking like an infomercial, it looks like some kind of journalism program. Those are all things that we have prohibited in the past, and I think what we're talking about now is a logical extension of that. And I think the problem wasn't that necessarily we looked and we said, oh, there's a huge problem out here. What we did is we looked and we saw that this has become a major part of marketing
in the United States
right now. And there's no indication that the participants in this really appreciate that, in at least in some situations, what they're doing may be subject to the FTC Act and the consumer protection laws. So that's what we wanted to communicate, and we're planning on doing extensive education to follow this up.
We're talking with Richard Cleland. He's the Federal Trade Commission's Assistant Director of Advertising Practices. What form will the outreach and education take?
Well, I think what we're in the process of putting together some FAQs and some other educational tools that will be available through our website. In the interim, we're purely, like I said, in an educational mode, and we want to, find out what people's concerns are at this point, or find out what the questions are, basically. So we want to be complete in our education. So right now we're gathering some additional information and trying to assess exactly what questions do the bloggers and the social media groups have that we can address in our education.
And Mr. Cleland, your guidelines also include celebrity endorsements. Oftentimes you'll see celebrities on talk shows talking about their involvement with a particular brand or a particular product. So do they need to disclose this information too, and what's their responsibility?
Well, the rule on celebrities, if they're appearing in something that looks like an ad, that people would identify as an advertisement, then we think that consumers understand that that celebrity is being paid
right
to be in that ad. When the celebrity is outside of the four corners of an ad and they're on a talk show or they're tweeting or doing something that may not necessarily be immediately recognizable as an advertisement, and they're being paid to promote the product, they should disclose that.
And what about the reverse? Suppose someone writes negatively about a product. Suppose, I'm writing about Aunt Jemima's boiled rice and saying it's the worst thing I ever tried. Do I have to disclose that I'm being paid by Uncle Ben?
Well, the interesting thing is that would not be – that might be a violation of the FTC Act, but it wouldn't be something that would be – that's specifically covered under these guidelines because it's not really an endorsement.
And Mr. Cleland, can you enforce fines if you so desire? I mean, is there a component in this that allows you for egregious violators to issue fines?
No.
No. So you can't issue fines at all. What's the penalty then for not following this?
Well, I mean, to some extent, at this point, as I said earlier, we are focusing on consumer education and voluntary compliance. And to the extent that at some point, if it's demonstrated that there's a clear public interest in going forward with some enforcement action, we could do that. We don't think it's necessary to get into that area right now, at least with regard to bloggers. Now, we are concerned and particularly concerned with sort of the intermediary, the ad agency type equivalent here that, is responsible for sort of putting the bloggers in touch with the advertisers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and making
mm-hmm.
sure that they are giving good, correct instructions to their, to their bloggers.
To their vehicles.
Right.
Whether it's a celebrity or a blogger or,
right.
YouTube artist or whoever it is.
I mean, that's the only effective way. If there's a problem, that's the only effective way to address it.
Yeah, in the meantime, it's really reader beware, right? This is always the case.
Well, that's you're absolutely right. That's always the case, but we think that this additional information will be helpful to consumers.